I was coming out of the toilet, my hands were wet, and as soon as I opened the door, the person I see in front of me is BCG CEO. And I was like, hey, you're Rich Lesser. He was like, yes, I am. and literally, I shook hands with him with like, where I'm like, you know, I hadn't dried my hands properly, and it was one of the most awkward instances ever.
Welcome to Secrets of the City, the show where we uncover the stories behind the people who work in the highly lucrative yet enigmatic jobs of the City of London. I'm your host, Ayush Santalia.
And today we'll be speaking to Mudit Gupta. Mudit was raised all over the world. He's originally from India and spent much of his childhood there before going to university in the UK. Here, he studied chemical engineering at Cambridge University and has since joined BCG, one of the world's largest consultancies, as an associate consultant. But how did he manage the transition from chemical engineering, a highly technical degree, to consulting?
That's quite interesting. I think it helped that I wasn't quite practical at engineering and wasn't actually quite sure that I wanted to work in engineering. So I tried to explore what other opportunities were available to me. And like, as a typical student, you're like, oh, I can go into banking or I can go to consulting. Those are the two big things at university. Especially when you go to Cambridge, that's where you see people going. Banking didn't appeal to me too much because, I don't know, it seemed a bit elitist as a career. So I went to the recruiting events, talked to people in consulting, and realized that it was about breaking down problems. And that's what appealed to me. And I would say as a transition, having worked in it now, I know that that is what it is. You take a more complex problem and fundamentally you break it down to smaller pieces and then you solve it. And that's literally what you do in engineering. And it helps that we're good at numbers because that's a big part of the job.
You say you weren't interested in banking, but you did an internship at American Express before joining BCG. What was the motivation behind that and what was that like?
So I would say that was part of the hustle. So I would have applied for this when I was in the second year of university. And at that stage, you're literally sending off applications left and right. And I was part of this organization called SEO, which advertises jobs for people from underrepresented backgrounds. An opportunity through American Express came up through them. And I applied to the job and ended up getting it. And one of the reasons I did the internship in my third year was because that's the only offer I had. and it turned out to be a really good experience.
What exactly was the experience like?
Coming from university, I would say the experience, it was way more relaxed in a way. Because at Cambridge, you're working flat out like 14, 15 hours a day. But once I got to American Express, you clock out at 5 o'clock. That's it. You're done. Your time is your time, and then you start the day fresh the next day. What I absolutely loved is the people at the company. They were super friendly. The work was really interesting. So just to let people know what I was doing at American Express in London in my internship, I was actually working in their pricing team for the corporate side of the business. So for example, if a company like Levi's wants a corporate credit card, a company like BCG wants a corporate credit card, when they go to negotiate these deals, my team is what would determine the pricing. Well, what percentage of the cut goes to BCG versus American Express, what perks we give to them, etc. So it was a really exciting team.
And what was your role specifically in that team?
So in that team, obviously the deals for small companies and big companies are structured very differently. So negotiations with companies like McKinsey and BCG goes on for almost 6-7 months before they sign the deal. But negotiations with really small businesses might last only a couple of weeks. Or they might not be in the negotiations at all because we have a standard contract for them. Each time a small deal would come through, we would still need to model it out and it would take maybe 3-4 days of an analyst time, which wasn't worth what the deal actually represented for us. So what I helped build was like an automated tool by which the people who were selling the deal could plug in certain parameters and it would spit out a range of, you can offer a deal within this and this percentage to the client. So it was an automated pricing tool for the deals. I really love the payment space. I think that's where I would want to go after consulting, because the limited time I spent at Amex, maybe like around a year, I've really gotten interested in it.
We'll come back to future aspirations later on in the show, The other question I had on American Express was, I know that you worked with them both in New York and in London. How were the experiences and the culture that you felt different between the two?
On the face of it, I was working for the same company in both the UK and the US. So in that sense, the culture wasn't too different. The people were really friendly, super helpful, and of course, super intelligent as well. One thing I would point out, I think it makes a big difference whether you work in like the global headquarters of a company, like I did in New York, versus you work in the regional headquarters or like a smaller office. It makes a huge difference. The people you see, like I was taking the elevator once when the main elevator was broken. We were in the service elevator, and literally the head of HR for Amex, who sits on the board, was in the same elevator as me. And I was like, that's quite cool. And people regularly bump into the CEO as well. So those kind of opportunities you don't get like when you're in a smaller office. On that note, actually, I was in BCG, in the BCG London office, maybe, I don't know, this was maybe 2 months ago now. I was coming out of the toilet, my hands were wet. And as soon as I opened the door, the person I see in front of me is BCG CEO. And I was like, hey, you're Rich Lesser. He was like, yes, I am. and literally I shook hands with him with like, well, I'm like, you know, I hadn't dried my hands properly, and it was one of the most awkward instances ever. But it was still really cool to meet him, and how he was still like eager to learn about me. Obviously, he had a long day. He was doing like interviews with all the partners in the London office, but he was still keen to know like, oh, what did I study university? What am I working on, etc. Which was really good to see.
The other internship that I know you did was at PolyOne, which is a publicly traded engineering company. What was that experience like, and how did it compare to your other two city jobs at American Express and BCG?
Yeah, so that was, of course, an internship in engineering rather than like financial services or consulting. So it was actually, yeah, completely different. What the company did, or the part of the company I worked in, was it made plastic sheets. And what I got a chance to do was work on the shop floor with people making the actual sheets. I was working with the R&D people within the company to do specific research projects for them. But fundamentally, I couldn't see myself doing that as a career because it didn't interest me. And at that point, I would actually talk to people about consulting and would be like, I've heard of consulting. Like, a lot of my job involved sitting in the lab and also doing testing on the samples I produced. And I would talk to them about like, oh, I've wanted to go into consulting. It's quite an interesting profession. And they would be like, engineers, how can you go into consulting? Because you have no business knowledge. You've studied engineering and this is what engineers do. There's no chance you can break into a company like that. They take people who study business economics. And it seems like you would need experience to join something like that.
One of the things about consulting is that actually there are a lot of engineers and scientists and mathematicians who are in consulting roles. What makes those more technical degrees so suited for a job in the city?
Number one, we're really good at numbers, right? For 4 years, all we do is differentiation equations, integration equations, but more importantly, we apply those really complex maths equations, or we formulate those math equations from situations we see. Like they'll present a situation to you, like for example, in engineering, we would have how long it takes for something to evaporate off a surface, right? But they're not telling you what the math equation over there is, but you're coming up with that by looking at the problem. So you're really good at looking at something and inferring what the problem is and breaking the problem down. But another thing is, a lot of the projects are getting more analytical and there's a lot more data on the client side. You have to use a lot more Excel. But often Excel isn't the tool you use, but you move into more big data tools like Alteryx. And I think engineers have an edge in that space because we're good at numbers, as I said. And a lot of us have coded at university as well. So yeah, we have advantage over someone who's maybe studied economics. So now that more of consulting as it moves in that direction, I think we're becoming a bit more suited for the job. And it's not that we need to maybe be that good at consulting that we go onto the data science side, but almost act like the bridge where we understand how the coding works and it fits together and be able to explain that to the clients as well.
On that point, one of the things I find interesting about BCG is you have your own in-house analytics team called BCG Gamma. And for those of you who don't know, BCG Gamma is a separate set of consultants within BCG who solve problems using big data algorithms and machine learning algorithms. So it's much more data analytics and engineering heavy. Do you know much about BCG Gamma and how does it fit into the larger organization?
I'm actually really intrigued by BCG Gamma. They do really cool stuff as a company. I would say the practice within London is still relatively small. We maybe have only 10 or 20 data scientists compared to maybe 600 consultants, but it's growing really rapidly, maybe like doubling or tripling in size every year. They form a big part of our pitches, especially. So when we sell ourselves to the client, we talk about how we have these data scientists at hand and these are the kind of analysis we can do for you. And I think the best part about BCG Gamma is that it was founded from within rather than acquisition. We work collaboratively with them. It's almost like we work as one organization. So it's really exciting in that aspect.
Do you, or not you specifically, but BCG Consultants and BCG Gamma do a lot of projects collaboratively, or do they operate as separate entities within the larger organization?
So I would say the split of projects maybe is 90 is core consulting, and maybe there's maybe 10 or 15% of the projects which involve Gamma. But every project which has Gamma has a consulting team on it. Because I think a big part of the big data stuff you do is also the change management. I would say arguably the change management is a bigger part, right? Because you want to embed the tools you've built within the organization, and that requires like behavioral change to get people to use the tools, explain it to them. And that's where you require the consultants. There are projects which run, many projects run independent of Gamma, but no Gamma project can run independent of consultants.
That leads quite nicely onto my next question. How would you best describe what BCG does? Is it more strategy consulting? Is it more operations consulting, data analytics, or is it all of the above?
So obviously when BCG started, right, it was just high level strategy projects for like big companies. I think Black & Decker and stuff were our clients back in the day when we were founded. I think the way consulting is evolving now is companies have quite good strategy teams within their companies itself. So I think what BCG is moving into is, of course, we do a lot of that strategy work, management consulting, help work directly with the CEOs to like find out what their five-year strategy needs to be, where do they need to play, give an outside in view of how you're doing versus your competitors, right? But it's also moving into things like, one of my first projects I did at BCG was the integration of two big pharma companies. And this is not a project which is like three or four people, but it's actually 50 consultants on the ground. The second project I did at BCG was actually a Brexit strategy PMO for another pharma company. And this was a team of 20 people. This is not something I think you would see maybe 10 years ago, right? It would be teams of three or four working on different modules of the strategy for a company. But now we're moving more into, I wouldn't say it's a big part of our business, but again, it is a part of a business where we do PMOs, integration of pharma companies, agile transformations. That's a big thing these days, where companies are looking to change how their employees work.
For someone who doesn't know that much about consulting, what is all of the above that you've just described? What is a PMO? What is an agile transformation?
Yeah, of course. I've got so used to these terms, right? A PMO is a project management office where you essentially project manage a big project for the company, right? So what we were doing is, for this pharma company, they needed to be Brexit ready. So they have all their licenses were actually registered outside of the UK for selling drugs within the UK. And there's some licenses which are registered in the UK for selling drugs outside the UK. And obviously once the UK breaks away from the EU, you won't be able to sell those drugs in those places if the licenses aren't registered. So we were helping transfer almost, it was a huge amount. And it was a project which actually ran for a year. So it was a big endeavor.
So in the first episode, I spoke to someone from another firm where the projects typically are 5 or 6 people in a team, 7 to 8 weeks long. How does that vary at BCG?
It can vary from anywhere to, if you're doing a due diligence, it can be 2 weeks long. If you're doing a typical strategy project, it's 8 weeks long. If you're doing a PMO, you could be required, the PMO is a project management office, you could be required to be on it for maybe 6 months. But I think beyond 6 months is when you can say, I don't want to be on this anymore. And because, of course, when you join consulting, you want to do as many different things as possible. So it might not be the most attractive project, but you definitely learn a lot in all of them.
What was the reason and the motivation behind why you joined consulting?
I'm quite an impatient person who gets bored of things easily. So consulting is almost a way to dip your toe in many buckets at the same time, right? Is that the saying? Dip your toe in multiple buckets? I think that's it. You can experience many different industries, and it's almost like coming out of university. You don't need to make a decision that, oh, I really want to do this. I want to work in this. It gives you a chance to experience many different things. And you're coming out of university. You're what, 22 years old? And on the first day of the job, or within your first year, you might be sitting on the same table as the CEO of a big multinational company. I don't think there's any other job which can give you that. That was my key thing, like, this is really cool. And if that's something, maybe if I want to work as a CEO of a company in the future, this is a great way to start my career.
Yeah, again, that leads quite nicely onto my next question. What would you say are your aspirations beyond consulting? You've mentioned your interest in the payment space. You've mentioned future CEO just now. What would you say is your goal?
I actually haven't thought too much about this, because each time I start to think about it, I'm kind of like, I don't want to leave BCG, because I still want to keep doing so many projects. I wouldn't know what industry I want to go into, though I did say I love Amex and I love the payment space. So one of the, maybe I've given a little bit of thought to potentially going back to American Express. They have actually a strategy planning group which reports directly to the CEO and does high-level strategy for them. It's a good way to be almost contributing to the success of one company, right? Yeah. That's the way I see it, and that could be a good way to go back into industry, work for them. Or a dream job could also be working for Google. They actually have an internal strategy team which is formed of ex-consultants. And that would be a cool exit opportunity, but that's more like a dream. I don't know if that's realistic, because that's going to be really competitive.
What was the biggest surprise for you coming into the job? Something that you didn't know before you actually started doing it?
So something that I did know was the hours are going to be long. Since I'd been doing American Express in New York before this, so that was a 9-to-5 job. After 5 yeah. p.m., I was like, oh, great. I have my own time. I can do a bit of HelloFresh cooking, go watch some telly. Now, I think my first week on the job, I was working, like, as I said, the integration of these two pharma companies. And 8 o'clock rolls around and there's more work. And I'm like, oh no, this is really tough. Like, I was like, I knew it's going to be long hours, but these are a lot of hours in the day to be working. And then you're taking a cab home at 10 o'clock. And I'm like, okay, I'm in for a ride. Like, if I'm going to be doing this, like, you need to get used to this. But what is surprising is how easy you get used to the long hours. It becomes a part of your routine, where if any day you get free at 8 p.m., you're like, oh, great, this is a great day. this is amazing. And when you talk to your friends who don't work in consulting, they don't understand you at all. I would say it's really easy. Not really. It's easier to adapt to than you would think. What else is a surprise? Maybe that you're not a minion all the time for the partners, because they actually want you to contribute. So we have these weekly CTMs, right? I would say your opinion is as valuable as someone who's been in the job 5 years, because it's coming up with ideas, being like, okay, we could take this approach, we could take that approach. And it's super cool how everyone has an equal voice. You can almost push back on things, right? So for example, if you're storylining, if you're coming up with a story of how you want to present this to the client, you can, if your manager says, no, we should do it this way, you can be like, no, I think it should be this way. So everyone has an equal say regardless of their tenure. And you're not just a person who's doing the grunt work, which is in a way surprising, because I've heard in some other industries, maybe you can dispel these myths in future episodes. In investment banking, for example, I've heard that it's way more hierarchical and you do what you're told.
What would you say your role is then within BCG?
So maybe the best way to describe it is, suppose you're on like a 4-person BCG team, right? You have a manager and you have 3 people on it. Break the project up into 3 chunks, and each of those chunks is given to one of the associate or consultant on the team, where you're told, this is your module, go run with it. right? Of course, there's plenty of guidance, tons of iteration with the PL, but you're responsible for that module. So suppose, for example, you're working for Coca-Cola, right? You're working for Coca-Cola UK. Of course, they have like Coke, they have different, they make water bottles as well. So you on the team might be coming up with a strategy for Coca-Cola's water bottling division. Someone else is coming up for Coca-Cola Cola division, right? You're owning a module on the project. You are making the slides. You're interacting with the clients. You're doing the analysis, everything. So that's really cool. You're the subject matter expert, which is often really hard to get out of because you might be talking to someone and you're knee deep in the information down here, but you're up there, right? So you need to come down to their level and explain everything so they understand it properly and give all the context.
I think one of the conceptions about consultants is that often they will say they're the subject matter expert in Coca-Cola, for example, but then you're presenting to the CEO of Coca-Cola, who, in all honesty, is probably knows much more about the industry than someone who's been looking at it for 8 weeks. How do you balance the fact that obviously you have a unique perspective on this industry or on this company, but you're presenting to people who have been living and breathing this thing for the last 20 years?
Yeah, that's actually a really valid point, and I get that a lot. What I would say is the value consultants bring is almost stitching the different pieces of information together and making a coherent argument out of it, like cutting through the bullshit and saying, actually, this is what you need to do. Taking all that information together and like analyzing it and coming up with a solution. So the CEO might not have talked to the person who's frontline sales, right? They have so many more important things. But we'll talk all the way down from the bottom, maybe not me personally, right? But like I will talk to that person bottom line sales, but someone else in my team would have talked to that person in that division, whereas my PL might have talked to the VP in the company. I might have talked to the VP in the company, and we bring all those insights together to the CEO in a story and be like, this is the one actionable recommendation you need to take out of it. Of course, the subject matter expert knowledge often also comes from the partners who have been in this industry for 20 years or more, and they have seen this problem happen at other companies before, or they have seen the situation before. So they almost, which is really uncanny, is almost in the first week of a project, when the partners sell a project, they already know what's wrong and how to solve it. And they know, oh, the solution will be over there. But of course, you have to prove it through tons of data, tons of analysis, but they almost always know this is what you need to do and how it needs to be done, I guess, which is why they get paid that much, right? I would say where almost the ammunition, right? We bring the analyses. We might not have the subject matter. We become subject matter experts through the course of the project on the current situation as well, which the client is facing.
If we zoom out a little bit and talk more about the consulting industry as opposed to the job, we've already discussed things like big data, BCG gamma, data analytics, but what is the biggest challenge facing the consulting industry today?
I would say the challenge they're facing is what you just mentioned, right? That things are moving in the direction of big data, and what the consultants or the consulting companies need to do is adapt to this change. Because as soon as you drop the ball, you become irrelevant to your clients and you can't provide them what competitor A can provide, right? You need to be top of your game and have those capabilities to serve the needs of your client. I would say big data is one of those things, but another interesting way the direction the industry is changing is I think companies are able to work on this strategy maybe themselves, right? You're not gonna want a strategy project every year. And they have these internal strategy teams who are getting better and better at what they do. So maybe those traditional strategy projects might fade away as we go along, which is why traditional strategy firms might need to focus more on the implementation side and maybe cut their fees, because it might be hard to compete with likes of Accenture, who can offer the same thing you do for maybe 1/4 or 1/5 the price.
I guess to finish off, what is one piece of advice you would give to young Mudit, knowing what you know today?
I think I would have advice for young Mudit, but I'm not sure he would follow the advice. the advice would be to back off a little bit and relax, enjoy life in addition to trying to pursue career stuff. Like or being so focused on the grades you get at university. I would say you can lose that extra 2-3% and you will still be fine. that's what I would say to back off and take a break. The more I think about it, that's the advice I would give to myself right now, where you can, instead of working maybe those 14 hours, work those 10 hours and you can do the rest of the work tomorrow morning. But sometimes it's within your nature to like keep going.
It's the 80-20 rule, right?
It's the 80-20 rule, 100%.
That was Mudit on Seekers of the City. Thank you for listening in, and I'll see you next time.